Welcome to the Astrocast, a monthly podcast from Numinous resident astrologers Bess Matassa and Sandy Citron.
Hi, Numiverse. This is Sandy.
And Bess.
And we are here to discuss Leo season and all of its rip-roaring glory.
Oh, yeah. We washed onto the shores out of Cancer season, and here we are.
How was Cancer season for you, Bess?
Well, I have to say, Sandy, it was not an easy one. It was not completely lubricated. I feel like in the past, it's kind of like that phrase, like the true meaning of Christmas. I feel like I discovered the true meaning of Cancer season this time around. I feel like in the past, as like a very Leo heavy being, I've kind of used Cancer as an extended prep for Leo season, where I'm just like making my costumes and like getting my sequins in order, and I'm like having epic romances. And this one, I feel like I really moved into the lunar underworld, especially the idea of the past. And it's a theme that I think we'll get into too for this eclipse season more broadly, but really being with the fluctuations of feeling, and very powerful fluctuations of feeling, and with the Mars retro too, understanding action and effort in a different way than I had before, and that not everything can be efforted consciously the way that my Mars in Aries wants to make it. But I think ultimately I'm going to have like a bittersweet farewell to this Cancer season. It dredged up a lot from the bottom of the ocean, but there were some treasures and good pearls there too.
I really resonate with what you're saying. Last year for Cancer season, I basically like fought my way through it and just was pummeling the air. I was so busy and I didn't stop at all. I didn't slow down to feel anything. I was just go, go, go. And this year, I was just washing back and forth along the shoreline with each wave and really slowing down and really kind of owning it in a way. And it was opening. It was beautiful. It was very feminine, which is not always my go-to, even though I'm so Venusian. I don't know. But I was just really in this flow and giving myself more space and time to feel things. It was cool.
Yeah, and there's that interesting, and I think we talked about it in Cancer season too, that ebb and the flow, or the image of standing on the edge of the ocean and the pull, the like intense pull that it sometimes has when it's coming through your toes, but you're not being fully dragged out to sea, and just sort of noticing where your body is in that process. It's not complete dissolution like Pisces, where we're just carried, you know, like totally wildly fluctuating, because it is this cardinal energy, but where you are in that kind of rhythm. There was a rhythm to it. I would just sort of like let it rise, let it fall, you know, that kind of dance. That was really interesting.
Like surfing.
Yeah. It was kind of like, I've never tried surfing.
Me either.
Yeah. I actually had it was such an epic end to Cancer season. This week I attended like a mass meditation under the whale at the Natural History Museum.
Wow.
And it was actually on the anniversary of a near drowning that I had 14 years ago, where I like basically haven't been in the ocean since. And it was a sound meditation and kind of immersive aquatic experience. So it was so deeply Cancerian. And it was also this kind of memory palace of confronting this, the last time I'd fully been immersed in the ocean and had a near drowning.
Wow.
So yeah, it was, yeah.
That, my eyes are like saucers right now. I'm like, that is impressive.
it was really syncing up with, I found, I don't know if you found this, but like synchronicity, or the idea of syncing in ways, really came to me this go around. Like just serendipitous sort of encounters with people on the street, or that kind of boomeranging of people from the past. And, you know, with all the retros, it makes sense as well. But this feeling that you didn't really, it was a different kind of efforting. You just sort of had to be in the, enter the stream. And then it was like the things were kind of coming in that channel, the people or the things that you needed to know, or...
Yeah, this sounds like receptivity. That's really cool. Yeah. It's like being, slowing down to find out you're exactly where you need to be, and you have everything you need, and you're moving through the channel in like kind of the right time.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I feel like we mentioned this in the last podcast episode, but for two, like Mars in Scorpio, Sandy, and Mars in Aries myself, this has been I feel like a deep learning through both Mars retro and this cardinal watery energy.
Yes.
Of receptivity, or the boundaries between what we think of as action and reception.
Yes, yeah. And the Mars retrograde continues.
Oh, rages
through
on.
All the way through Leo season, so we'll be talking about it today. Mm-hmm. And we'll go deeper into Mars retrograde and talking about how it is feeling for me, like, wow, I don't have, where am I pushing? When am I pushing? Do I want to be pushing? Who's supposed to be pushing? And like, does it work for me to be pushing, or do I need more balance?
Yeah.
Constant questions for a Libra, which is not a Martial sign. But then I have Mars in Scorpio, which is very martial. So I'm trying to find this balance of like, how do I yang? When do I yang and when do I yin?
Yeah, definitely my lifelong struggle is a Mars in Aries opposite Pluto. Yeah, the yin ain't easy. But yeah, and I think it's a theme too, this idea of pushing, or that the ebb, the flow, the reception, the action that we're going to get into too, thinking about this, you know, this cycle of eclipses and the nodal axis as well. So just to give you guys kind of the panned out, we're gonna fly high above the clouds. We're gonna look at some of the major themes coming up this month as filtered through each of our perspectives, and then we're gonna dive into the micro movements of the planets throughout the month. But when you were first looking at this, or the season, I should say, this season as a whole, Leo season, what was firing for you, Sandy? What was being revealed?
So what I do when I try to create or come up with this imagery is I try to get into a little meditative state and see what symbols come through. And this is what I do when I write the horoscopes every week for the Numinous as well. And so so I'm kind of curious also to see through our conversation how this image unfolds.
Yeah.
I don't have all of the proof or understanding of it totally figured out, although I think it makes sense. So I'm curious and interested to see how we unpack it. But the symbol is skipping stones.
Mm.
And I like it immediately because it feels activated and there is some activated energy coming up, as we'll describe. Mm-hmm. And there's also a kind of clarity to it. There's like a directedness to it.
Yeah.
But there's also, you're working with, when you're skipping a stone, you're working with the environment and you're responding to the environment. There's an action, you know, you're working with each wave. There could be a surprising wave coming in.
Right.
And like that could take the stone in a whole new direction. Or, you know, the wind could kind of come in and be like, oh, now we're doing this too. So there's a real expressiveness to the symbol.
Mm. Oh my God, this is taking me in so many places. I didn't have an image this go around, like sort of an immersive environment, but I did have a song, a couple of tarot cards, and a television show.
Yes.
Or some scenes from a television show. And the kind of two interlocking themes that I kept thinking about were the first being, and these are like macro themes, so obviously we'll get into the weeds a little bit more about them. The first was really about the concept of linear time and how our notion sometimes of time being linear, or things being kind of along an axis in that way, really hurts us. And that there's sort of opening up to time as porous and permeable. And I'll get into what I mean by that. But the idea of, not that there's not things that are lost, because obviously we have to reckon with things like grief and with things like cutting away, you know, leaving us or us leaving them. But that there's also so many other entry points into the experience of like nothing is really lost. And it's totally a theme that kind of syncs up with the nodal axis that we'll get into. But this idea of basically the and I'm not like a Lenny Kravitz fan by any stretch, but Lenny Kravitz's version, I don't know if he was the original person who wrote this song. It feels like an older song, but in ain't over till it's over. Mm-hmm. And thinking about that, both with this radical energy of Aquarius that we're going to talk about coming in, where it seems like radical rupture, futurity, but also with the pull of the South Node, Mars retro, all of these kinds of like regressive, in quotations, the pull of the past and what that looks like. And then the second theme connected to basically like where we stand in the conversation between like free will and destiny and what it means to summon the courage to do what we quote unquote must do, or do what the soul wants to do. And for this sort of leonine part of, you know, and it's, I don't know, there's a lot firing right now. I feel like I'm having a full Leo season spillage already. But the image that came to me was of the show Glow, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It's a Netflix show about a group of like women. They're not wrestlers, by their actresses and all sorts of different trades, and they come together to wrestle on this, you know, what becomes a television program. And something about the, they're all like clad in like gold lamé and like sequins and like, you know, tricked out like turquoise eyeshadow. And they're also in this ring where they're like fighting. I mean, it's like WWF, so it's not, nobody's like getting actually hurt. But the way their bodies are colliding, and it kind of syncs up with your image of the stone, the skipping the stone, because there's a certain hardness, there's a certain form, and there's a certain buoyancy. So just to start totally abstract, that's what I'm working with, is Lenny Kravitz, It Ain't Over Till It's Over, and The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
So. They do. I mean, I haven't watched the show, but just the images I've seen of it are so Leo to me. I mean, it's such vibrant colors and like big expressive energy.
And Leo reminds us that it's like good to be alive, mm-hmm. and that we don't need to always like penetrate into all of the layers beneath something. You know, we'll talk about how this plays out this month, but you know, that it's like to be on the side of life, to affirm even when we're like in battle. And Glow is such an image of this, because they're like tearing each other's hair, you know, like flying through the, like sweat flying off of them, but it's so leaning because it's like, damn, it's just good to be here. Like whatever the range of feeling, whatever is inhabiting my body in this moment, I can get juicy with it.
Yeah. So what are you excited about for Leo season?
I mean, broadly speaking, like when the sun is in Leo, I just feel like there's such a sparkling simplicity to this sign that really kind of strips us back down to the core of what brings us fully alive. And obviously there's complexity to that, and Leo isn't just like all, you know, fruits and flowers, but there is this sense of being so immersed in presentism, in the present moment of something, that it's, I mean, it's part of the myopic quality to Leo sometimes, where it's like that becomes the whole focus, whether the focus is the self or whatever this joy is in your heart or whatever it is. You know, and I think too, though, that this is like, there's a graduation, there's a kind of deeper training of Leo energy going on in this season as well, because it's both that affirmative, really juicy energy, and it's also a learning of, you know, I think back, and I have to speak from personal experience with my Leo moon, I think back to a really difficult period of confrontation that I had with one of my closest friends who's a moon in Capricorn. And we were just, I don't know, there was a lot going on between us. And there was this moment where I realized that sometimes the leonine energy, it can cause other people pain, because there's this feel, and the Leo being pain too, because there's this idea of the mythological, what life could be, just come away with me, it could be, we could do, you know, and then there's kind of like a total blocking of like what the other person is saying they want or don't want, or whether that's viable. It's like, I think about myself in romance often, where it's like, I've like divined like the entire plan for like the most romantic meetup, and we're going to meet here in Vegas, and there's going to be this, and it's like, and then it takes none of the other being into account, like at all. And then there's this deep, deep shadow work to do with Leo, because the brighter the sun shines, you know, the darker, or like the more invigorated the shadow becomes. And then there's this fall, this kind of like almost like manic depression, you know, depression quality. I'm not using that term to lightly, or but that this kind of roller coaster of the light and the dark, emotion wise and I think this go around, for a lot of different astrological reasons, it feels like we're in a learning around the sustainability of that, and that it doesn't need to be these massive swings or this total blocking out, or like the sun comes and like blocks out everybody else's sort of perspective, that there can be a juiciness and aliveness, and also a conversation with the self around that, that isn't always kind of like strong arming other people into being your unwitting passengers on your like mythological journey to Vegas or wherever you're going.
Yeah. And so I think for the non-Leos.
Yeah. No, this is, I mean, I'm speaking broadly.
Yeah. This is for, you know, so coming into Leo season, well, and one thing that, so I was just listening, really interested, because I have a lot of Leo moons in my life, and I love learning from a Leo moon who's also an astrologer what that feels like.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes almost, maybe they're run parallel to my concept of Leo, which is so much of it is the sharing of the fire, because it is like this interpersonal sign, which is about this partnership. And so, like, what's interesting about what you described is all of the buildup is, like, for the shared experience, but it's not taking into account the other person.
And then it's like, what do you mean you won't? Like,
yeah,
I plan this whole thing. It's perfect.
Yeah. And so it is interesting, I guess, maybe for all of us looking over the month or the weeks of Leo season that are coming, and that we maybe were already in at the time of this listening, to think to yourself, like, how do I want to live my truest fire and express myself fully while also feeling the feeling of true sharing that is connecting? And whether that means that, you know, sometimes in that connecting, it's about getting the connection of recognition, which is a feeling that you receive when you know that someone out there really sees you and really understands you. And also the giving and the generosity of Leo, which is like being so alive and so vibrant, and then also having your heart overflow and kind of like give. And so any way that this could come out, like if I was to go into this time thinking, you know what, it's going to be about true life, passion, and being seen for the magic that I am, and also my generosity and being generous and like lighting it up. Yeah. Like those would be some good. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm going into this with.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, not to belabor it, but I'm so obsessed with glow, that image of like, then like the lighting up in this costume, and you come in and it's like, and then you collide with the other being, you know, and you kind of come into this dance of your own specialness or your own kind of sparkle. And when you said generosity, it made me, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and we talked a little bit last season as well about like, I think it was around like excessive heart chakra, excessive and quote unquote deficient, but this notion of the balance between giving and receiving, and how sometimes the spillage, we think like, I'm just more, and I'm like sharing more and more of my heart. But it's like, if the person's not open, like you have to consider the receiver as well in that exchange, like, and you know, what you're speaking to, that kind of balance of like, you know, not just sort of promiscuous spillage that can then become, it's not really giving, not that there's like a true giving, but if that there can be ways in which we use quote unquote generosity that are just, you know, interesting to inquire around, you know, when there is a person's system who is filled up and not available to receive that, or that's not exactly what that person is, you know, inviting of you in that moment, or just to be kind of aware around that balance or that kind of dance.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think of the idea that, you know, Leo, and knowing many Leos, I really see this in them. In Leo, there's this childlikeness, and Leo does rule children, and it also rules being like a child. And I think when you're talking about this, I think of like the sweet image of maybe like a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old who wants to like hand you their smashed up blueberries, you know, and they're like, here.
Yeah.
And it's so pure and sweet and generous, and they want to give back the same way that they're receiving all the time. But, and then you're also like, I don't want your smashed up blueberries.
That's so funny. Because I always think of really juicy fruit when I think of Leo and Leo season. You know, I think about, you know, when you talk about the sensory experience of, like, what does Leo feel like, I think one thing that Leo season can feel like in a high octave of expression is when you bite into, like, a really juicy tomato or watermelon slice or something where literally the juices are dripping down your chin. And there's a quality of that, I think, in all of the fixed signs. And we're going to talk a lot about fixed energy this season because there's a lot coming up. But this real sinking in, this really, like, settling into the channel. And that image of the juicy fruits, but also the smashed up blueberries where it's like, no, I actually don't want your smashed up blueberries on my hands. And then it's like, but here they are. Like, I love them so much. And if you don't love them too, like, where does my love go? You know?
Yeah.
It's a theme, I think, for this Leo season as well, especially with this powerful, you know, eclipse cycle and the nodal axis around, like, what does it actually feel like to give love without attachment to the response? And, I mean, people talk about detachment all the time, and there's, you know, whatever, you can get into, like, what that means or feels like, but what does that actually look like? Have you experienced that in your life to have moments of giving without a love?
One of my best moments, one of my most changing moments was when I was dating someone who really didn't like me as much as I liked him. And I got to this point, it was also a fairly manipulative relationship. And I got to this point in it where we'd gone through all of the paces. Like, we've gone through everything we pretty much could have gone through. And we just pushed each other to these limits in different ways. And I just decided to myself, I was like, I love this person. I'm pretty sure this person is, like, not the one or anything like that. Or, like, this isn't working. Like, it was like I'd gotten to this kind of logical Libra moon. Like, right. I'd balanced it all out and I was feeling pretty objective about it. But I was also realizing, like, I really do love this person. And so I said to him one day, like, I love you. And he did not reply. And I left that situation. And it didn't end the relationship or anything, but I just left that situation feeling so empowered. It felt so good. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Like, I love. And it really doesn't matter what happens. Like, I can't be hurt. It was, like, such a place of security and safety to know that, like, I could share how I felt. And it, like, really didn't matter.
Yeah.
How, like, what. And I don't think, like, in that situation, I wasn't being aggressive with my statement. Like, it was a balanced situation. I don't think it's great to go around, like, pushing your feelings on people either. I'm not proselytizing that or something. But, like, in that situation, it was appropriate.
Yeah.
And I felt, leaving it, wow, like, I'm really safe with myself.
Yeah.
It was really steady and nice. Experience.
I've gotten hits of that through my life, and obviously, like, as a very willful being, and, you know, like, Venus and Aries and all sorts of other cosmic intricacies, but there have been those moments of levity, especially when you kind of strip it down, because so often, and I think specifically in relationship, you know, obviously there's many different forms of love we can give, but in romantic relationship, when I've really stripped it down, I remember years ago, I was in the throes of a breakup, very, very painful, like, deeply Plutonian relationship that transformed my life forever. But it was in a moment where we hadn't been communicating, and I was always hatching, like, the next plan for, like, the next, how we were going to, like, continue. I couldn't release, you know, and where I was just releasing on my own time. And I had this whole plan, literally, that I was going to have him meet me in Vegas, like, at this very specific spot on this day. I think it was even, like, my birthday. And, like, writing this letter. And I remember writing probably, like, 20 drafts of this letter until I had really stripped it, being really real with myself and stripping it down of the manipulative language, of the asks, of the assumptions about what he might have been feeling or whatever. And then I think by the time it got whittled down, it didn't even look like my writing, at least me that I knew myself to be. And it was just like, I'm going to Vegas, you know, I'll be here at this location at this time. You know, I'd love for you to join me. Or it wasn't even I'd love, but it was a total strip down. But those kinds of moments where it's like, yeah, just standing in the integrity. And it makes me think of the idea of the channel, which returns us to, like, Mars retrograde and these eclipses. This idea of, like, being a vessel, which isn't it's neither active nor inactive. It almost challenges any duality or any polarity between what is action and what does it mean to be the receiver, or yin or yang, or it's just like, this is literally what's like beaming through my body and I'm gonna let it kind of come through without like junking it with a bunch of like asks or super attachments to like what your response to this is gonna be. And then it almost puts me in the mind in the tarot of the Magician card, and it's like that moment, you know, and it's like the Back to the Future moment where the DeLorean intersects with the lightning strike, you know, and it's like showing up, you know, like there's a certain amount of action or a certain amount of you saying I love you or whatever the thing is, but it's also like meeting the lightning strike or meeting the unknowingness of the situation. I don't know if this is making sense, but
I think it makes sense. It's really profound to think about what it feels like when you're grounded and you're true to yourself, to your spark. Like, this is really fire energy that we're talking about, because when I think of fire, it's this spark that is what makes you you. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be anything to make that valid. You are you and you exist, and that's enough.
Yeah.
And with fire, of course, does also come action. So there's an impulse with fire to like go out and do, and my doing and my action proves something. And so that's what makes me powerful, is when I push myself onto something. And, you know, so that's, that happens, but you don't have to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be, and it's enough.
Yeah.
And maybe this is all with this Mars retrograde, which we keep referring to, but we haven't totally fully explained if you're a first-time listener. Yeah. The planet of action appears to be moving backwards right now. And so we're in a time where we are maybe questioning the actions we're taking, or we are not as activated as we would normally be depending on our personality, or maybe we are finding, if normally we're more passive or complacent or inactive, maybe now we're finding a new way to be active, or we're learning about that. That's my quick synopsis of what Mars retrograde is. So in this moment, I love what you're talking about this channel and this image of like, what could it be to just be?
Yeah. Well, and it feels so connected too, like what you're talking about, you know, the singularity, the singular spark, and the just being. It's the synthesis of Leo Aquarius. Like, ultimately, like this feeling of Leo, the specialist specialness of the spark, and Aquarius, give it away for the collective greater. There's something. And literally, like, the image, too, of, like, I mean, Back to the Future is, like, that the lightning strike, this is, like, the Aquarian energy of, like, innovation, radicalization, I mean, futurism, all of this, you know. So, yeah. So
let's break it down with this first eclipse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that we've had a large exposition, but, I mean, we'll come back to all of these themes, too, as we weave through.
That was our big our big prologue.
Yeah. Very leonine, very leonine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right away we have Mercury going retrograde. And that happens on July 26th. And so the sun moves into Leo July 22nd, backing up. And then right away Mercury goes retrograde July 26th. And then on July 27th, we have a wonderful full moon. And this is also an eclipse. Whee!
Yeah, a total lunar eclipse. And yes. I've heard that this is the longest, actually, durational eclipse that we've had. And you're more of an eclipse specialist than I am, so I'll let you.
I don't know if that's a moniker I should really take on. But I think I read this is like one of the longest ones. This will be the longest one this century.
Mm.
But the longest one of the last century was like on one of the last days of the year of the century, I think.
Oh,
if
wow.
I got that right.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be saying this on a recording because I'm not 100% sure about it, but I'm pretty sure. So it hasn't been that long since we had one that was almost this long,
okay.
But I think this is the longest one for this century, I think.
Yeah.
I wish I could put like little asterisks around it and come back and touch in later with the real facts. But yeah. You know what? This is what it is.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a very, and what that means is it's just so close to the nodal axis.
Yeah. And the nodal axis, just for kind of like listeners that might not know what this is, if you look at an astrological chart, you'll see the nodes of the moon symbolized by these almost like these little hairdo symbols. Like the north node looks like a little like a kind of 50s hairdo with like little curls on the end. And this is an axis, and you know, we can talk more about sort of our interpretations of this, but this, the north and the south node of the moon, it's almost like, to me, I almost feel sometimes the flavor of them as like a much larger mission in our lives, like even beyond the sun. If the sun is kind of our mission on the on one physical plane of experience, the north node of the moon, where we have the north node placed by sign, is really, it's a difficult path. It's a path of growth and sometimes discomfort and evolutionary growth, but for something bigger than ourselves, for kind of a larger collective purpose. And the south node, which is in the sign, you know, that's in opposition to the north node, is almost like a line of least resistance, or in some sort of schools of thought, a past life kind of incarnation, or something that you already kind of done in quotation marks in past incarnations or earlier in this one. And so there's a sense of like destiny, or a sense of evolutionary juice to where we're kind of funneling the energy toward the north node. I don't know. How do you think about it, Sandy?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I think about it. I think of like the north node as this kind of like point that you're headed toward, you're yeah. trying to get to. And so there's a sense of belonging to it. Mm. And there's also a sense of tension yeah. inherent within it. And for each of us, our connection to our personal north node in our natal chart is going to shift throughout our lives. It's the point of focus on which we're trying to really gain some experience. We're thinking of it as our soul's purpose. And then the south node is what we have experience with and what we feel comfortable with. Sometimes maybe there's a feeling of regression or a feeling of like staleness to it, but mm-hmm. often it's a feeling of like of comfort and familiarity. And so I kind of see it like we go toward the north node and then we come back and we circle around and collect the gold of the south node.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to get awareness of the whole experience of the north node and the south node together in that entire axis. But why we're talking about it now is because in every eclipse season, what's happening is that the ecliptic, which is the perceived path that the sun moves along, lines up. It overlaps with the lunar nodes, which is the path of the moon. So you can think of two hula hoops mm-hmm. that are kind of squished together, and they make two circles that stick together in the corners where the hula hoops intersect. That's where the eclipse is happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a very, like, hula hoops are also, like, a very Leo season activity. So
yeah.
If you have access to a hula hoop, you might want to, like, get out there and experiment.
Yeah.
So
anytime there's an eclipse, the sun and the moon are going to be close to the lunar nodes of the moon, basically. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about them every eclipse season.
Yeah. And so this first full moon, total lunar eclipse is in Aquarius, and it's on the south node of the moon, which is currently, the south node is in Aquarius. So what do you make of this?
Well,
of this
and
action?
Mars is there too.
Oh yeah, well we're going to get into that.
Yeah,
sure.
Well to me, like I can't separate it out, because yeah. that's what makes this so memorable, is that the numbers are so close, it's so exact, it's happening. We've got the south node, Mars, and the moon all together, facing off with the north node and the sun. And so this is, you know, and sorry if I took this away from where you wanted to go with it, because I threw Mars in there too.
But no, I'm definitely going there.
Okay, cool. But yeah, I mean, this, I see regression. That's what I'm seeing, because we've got, there's just, it's like all the past stuff, it's like whatever you felt like you needed to clear up or you missed or you need another chance with, you're going to want to go after that stuff, but you might not know how or why is the best way to do that. And then there are going to be moments where you feel like, what happened to all my progress?
Yeah. And I think this is where I started to think about linearity and time, was to think about that pull and what that looks like. And I feel like so often we end up in pain. And I don't want to sidestep the notion of death or endings or like real grief or cutting or things that do leave, because there is obviously such a thing as loss. But I think sometimes we're so limited in the way that we understand how things live on or how things need to be cut. And this notion that even like just inquiring sweetly around this eclipse about where you beat yourself up or mm-hmm. are harsh with yourself around the things that are still here, quote mm-hmm. unquote, or like, I can't believe I'm still, like, I think about conversations I've had, you know, often with friends where people are like, you know, you're talking about someone trying to get out of a quote unquote bad relationship and whatever. I could wax poetic about bad and good and that polarity or that duality as well, which I think causes us a lot of pain in our relationships. But, and then someone will say like, well, you should just, why haven't you cut that person? Why, you know, you should get over it or you should get, you know, get on with it. And it's like, it'll be done when it's done. That's not proper English, but it'll be finished when it's finished. And let it live in you and through you until, and then even after it's finished, it's not really finished. It's assimilated in some part of your body. It lives on in your the very cells of your body. And this notion of the, it's not over till it's over. And I feel like so strongly with this lunar eclipse that there is the capacity for greater sweetness with ourselves around both the harshness of thinking we should be done with things that are still here, and also the ability to let things pass through, knowing that they're like incarnating into different, they're chameleoning into different forms. I mean, not to get too entrenched about death itself, but, you know, in my mid-20s, I lost quite a few people that were very meaningful to me around kind of a concentrated period of time. And one of them was my father. And I remember, obviously there was all sorts of throes of the grief, I mean, just basic grief and loss, this being in this physical form that I knew is gone. And then I started to notice, and not that it wasn't intermingled with total grief, loss, all sorts of, you know, emotions like that, but just like things like I would be standing the way that he stood, or I would be gesturing in a way, I was literally like channeling his, I was taking up some of his energetic presence, and it was literally in my body, you know. And then I started to think about, you know, recently, you know, looking at these eclipse charts, all of the ways in which things live on. And we either have agitation around that, like, why is this still here? How is this showing up in this way? But also that there's a sweetness and there's a gift there to say that, you know, even it's a loss, it's a find. Like, even if things appear to be passing out or passing through or being taken away, quote unquote, that there's so many like boomerang like experiences and just living on experiences of them in ways that we can't even perceive necessarily with the rational mind or with this idea of the linear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is like acceptance.
Yeah.
In a big way, right? Yeah. Like, accepting yourself and the people around you, accepting, you know, it really resonated with me when you said like, why is this still happening? Why am I still, you know, because how often do we get so frustrated with ourselves about a quote unquote pattern? And patterns are a big part of being human. Our subconscious mind runs the program. Like, it runs what we're doing every day. So it's going to repeat it, like 90% of our thoughts we thought yesterday. So like, we are really patterned. We have a computer program running, which is our subconscious mind, that's saving us energy. And so, and yet we always want to be growing and changing and getting over it and moving forward. And we're working with this like computer brain, you know, that isn't upgraded unless we're upgrading it. Yeah. So I'm kind of going on a tangent from what you're talking about, which I don't want to go away from because it's so important, but it's like accepting that there will be moments where you feel like, wow, I really made progress. And accepting that there will be moments when you find that, like, it is kind of still happening. And it's different. Like, yeah. The experience has changed. You're owning the energy in a different way. There's new energy in it. And so accepting, I think this is really beautiful what you've brought up, this idea of time. And I really, when I'm thinking about it consciously, I really doubt that time even exists. You know, like I always kind of, it's like a throwaway comment of like, yeah, time doesn't even exist anyway.
you know,
I'll say to clients, and I haven't really investigated that, but this is a cool opportunity to ask yourself, like, what was my past? Where am I holding myself to some weird conceptual standard of what I feel like, where I feel like I'm supposed to be and what I feel like I'm supposed to have learned, and where can I just like be where I am and feel it and fully emotionally experience it? Because that's what's going on here, it's the moon in Mars. So fully emotionally experiencing what it is that you are doing in this moment.
Yeah, it's almost like, not to get too like meta, you know, but we're already going into meta. I mean, the whole thing is, but it's almost this meetup of past, present, future, because I think of Leo's presentism, an ability to kind of sink into the whatever the passionate kind of juicy aliveness is in that moment not detriment, but blocking out, you know, kind of the almost like the horse blinders on. And then the nodal axis, you know, being this kind of past future orientation. And then Aquarius being this total futuristic energy. So it is this kind of like melting time or morphing what we think of as the straight line of our lives moment. And, you know, it started to really feel, and it's going to intensify even toward the end of the season with the solar eclipse in Leo, but this meetup of like the free will and destiny. And I kept thinking about, I don't know what the quotation is or where the original source is, but this notion of like the courage to do what you must. And I started to think in the tarot, I mean, specifically about the sun card, you know, which is ruled by the sun, which rules Leo in astrology. And also a little bit of justice, which we're in partially, like a justice year, if you use like the 11 in tarot. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. But this notion of, I don't know, having kind of the wherewithal to look like what you're saying, like bless the pattern in some way. Let it live in whatever incarnation it's showing up at this moment, and also be showing up for something else when the openings are presenting themselves too. And I think of the sun card in tarot as, you know, some people are like, oh, it's just like joy and happy, you know, and ooh, the sun rises. But it's really the like the courage, summoning the courage to be the selves, you know, that only we can be, you know. And we know those moments, and we know the parts of the regressive pole or the past pattern that don't feel good anymore. I mean, we know we can sort of feel and navigate into mm-hmm. that, but we don't need to put another narrative on top of that about, well, I can't believe I'm back there, or, you know, kind of like stripping down and simplifying. And it's really, you know, it's leonine, because in some ways, you know, I think about Leo, and it's not usually associated with the sign of Pisces, but I think about a certain degree of allowing in the leonine realm or the leonine energy, where it's like, oh, it's here, you know, let me like buff it, let me gloss it, let me, oh, here it is, like a treasure, you know, even if it's not necessarily what we want to be seeing or think of as, you know, it's just sort of like, oh, another extension of the self, another part of our being, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you know, at this eclipse we have an opportunity to kind of be in a new way, that's not proper English, but be, exist in a new relationship to who we were before and what we're becoming. and how we want to act with all that, what we want to do, how we want to push, how we want to drive, how we want to like use our energy. Coming up, as we'll get to, we're going to think about the story and like the packaging all of that. That's going to come in really strong a couple of weeks later. So, but this isn't super conceptual. I feel like this time isn't like, it's not yet. It right now it's real visceral and it's real like reactive. And we're just responding to what the feelings are coming through, and the changes that are happening, and trying to motivate ourselves within it. And then later we're going to kind of tell the story about it, and we're going to understand it more. Mm. We're going to have more like clues and ways of discussing it and thinking about it in some ways. But right now at the beginning of this Mercury retrograde, the like conceptual facilities are kind of like bleh.
And letting it live through you. I mean, this is, the Mercury retrograde begins on the 26th, which is the day before the lunar eclipse. And then it stations direct right toward the end of Leo season on the 19th. You know, what is Mercury retro in Leo? What is this feeling like for you? I have an image in my mind, but I want to...
The thing that just popped into my mind, I'm not exactly sure why, is like circling the grocery store with a shopping cart and just like trying to figure out what to eat for dinner. let's flesh this out a little bit more. Maybe that pops into my head because it's like you're trying to make something happen. You're trying to enjoy yourself. You're excited about like the sensuality of it and the life that you're giving yourself and the like experience. Maybe you're planning a party, but as you're circling the grocery store, you just like, it's hard to maybe figure out, is it going to be pasta or is it going to be crostini? Yeah. You know, like what are you doing?
Pasta. I vote for pasta. Always.
So I don't know. This can also be like another way, because I always like to have many ways of interpreting these symbols. Like another way of doing this is like, let's just go to the beach. Like, let's just like give up on like the thought out like plan of all this stuff and like actually relax and have a good time.
Yeah.
And forget the grocery list, forget like the party we're trying to plan. Like just really be in an expressive moment with some fun. That could be one way to do this. What about you?
I kept thinking of like private karaoke booths, and I used to have this notion that like, oh, if you did the private karaoke rooms or the booths, you weren't like doing real karaoke, because real karaoke means risking standing up in front of like a whole crowd and strangers and the whole, you know, you're not doing real karaoke. And I'm not like a, you know, karaoke practitioner or whatever on the regular, but for some reason it didn't resonate as like a real quote unquote experience. But I feel like Mercury retrograde in Leo is exactly that in some ways, or is, you know, close to the image of that, because it's like this, you know, I think of like the song, is it Taylor Dane, the Tell It to My Heart?
Yeah.
Tell it to my heart.
All I can think of is Tig Notaro.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But this notion of like telling it to your own heart, or telling it in this kind of like almost like sending Valentine's to the self, or, and it, you know, it hooks in with the themes that we've been talking about around the full moon eclipse in terms of the releasing this sense of like good, bad, or the judgment, you know, because Mercury retrograde is so much in part about, so much in part, that's kind of a contradictory statement, but in part about self-talk, you know, and the kinds of narratives that we use internally to process our experience. And so, you know, and Mercury in Leo is, there's a fluffed and buffed and kind of like quality of like, just tell, you know, tell it like the heart song. And so I feel like in some ways this Mercury retro offers a softer point of entry into a disarmed kind of point of entry into assessing some of these narratives around what I did do or didn't do, or where I am now, or what I should have done in this past life or this earlier incarnation of myself.
I am thinking about courage too as you're talking, and like the kind of like scared little lion with Mercury in retrograde, wondering, like, can I go out there now and be the warrior that I'm supposed to be? And I think for all of us in this Leo season, especially this Leo season with the stuff that's going on, we can really decide, like, what does success feel like? And, like, what do we want to do? And maybe not decide. Actually, I take it back. Maybe we don't decide what it is, but we can start to feel into it and think, like, how do I want to feel when I'm feeling really brave and really courageous and really successful? Like, how does that feel for me? And what does it feel like on a daily basis? What do I wake up feeling? And what do I go to bed feeling? And starting to maybe take a back door into it, into this idea of, like, when we're our most brave, warrior, leonine, expressive, magical, creative, kingly, queenly selves, what are we saying and how are we talking? And I have a lot of clients right now for hypnosis who are all doing public speaking. I don't know what is going on, but many, many, many. And it's really cool because I'm thinking so much about how do we feel in our bodies when we comfortably stand in front of a room and we comfortably just share what we're excited about.
Yeah.
You know, and that too is this kind of this Mercury retrograde, which is stopping to take a look at how do we really share this Leo energy? Like, how does your body feel, your muscles feel when you're really communicating from the heart? And you've got something you're passionate about, and there's no lapse, there's no delay, there's no tiny tremor in your voice that's like that nervousness. It's just pure warrior, like fire, expression, pride, and courage and passion that's resonating through and inspiring others. And it's like you're giving a gift because you're sharing what you're really excited about, and you're sharing your friendliness. And so others are also responding to that. And it's just like the vibe gets higher and higher and higher.
Yeah. It's making me think, I mean, both about what we were speaking about earlier about the giving without attachment, or the just giving because it's just like the cup is just running over. And it's like literally what you're speaking about, being so comfortable, invigorated, whatever, that it's just like whoop. Out it spills, and it doesn't matter if there's like somebody in the back, like on their phone while you're presenting, or like somebody's like making a bad, you know, an angry face or whatever it is, but like you're just sort of fully in the flow of that experience. But I think too about, you know, and this is an eclipse duo, you know, the lunar and then, you know, the solar that's going to occur on the 11th of August in fixed signs. And I think what you're saying about what you want and how it feels in your body, I associate so intensely the fixed signs with desire and with that kind of internal channel. And if you even think about, and obviously it's different in different hemispheres, but in both hemispheres, the fixed signs represent the fullest flower of their season, the kind of entrenched, I mean, gone rogue, it can be like very entrenched energy, but we're in the northern hemisphere, the fullest heat of summer. It's the middle month of the 3 months. You know, we have the initiator, Cancer, the cardinal energy, which like leads us, it's emotion. And then, you know, Virgo starts to disseminate, break it up in September as we're like dissolving into the next season. But the fixed season or the fixed signs energy is the full flower, but it's this just like literal spillage, overgrowth, like just being in the channel, you know, being like feet in the sand, or, you know, whatever the image to you and one is of that kind of like elemental grounding. And when you're speaking about public speaking and feeling that kind of like feeling in your body and the kind of sense of rootedness, this is available to us very much during this season, as much as there's, and even like this feeling of the passing and the future and the what's kind of being released and the what's coming in, I have the vision of us standing, you know, on whatever constitutes solid ground to us and literally letting it pass through our bodies without having to agitate, without having to like chase after or like fall down in a heap or like whatever the movement is. It's like arms open, you know, like heart lifted, and it's just cycling. It's just cycling, passing in and out, in and out.
So good. Oof. Yeah.
So take a power pose.
Yeah, yeah, power pose.
Yeah.
Take a little power pose. Like, this eclipse is a powerful one. It's the most powerful of the three that we have. So July 27th, you know, you can think of the eclipse as a reset of some kind. So we've been talking about resetting, you know, how you feel like you're allowing yourself to be in the world and how you're accepting yourself for who you are and where you're at now. You can think of this as a time, I think I said this last time, but I always like to throw it in because these metaphors are really helpful for understanding eclipses. You can think of the eclipse as like you turn off the lights, and when you turn them back on, all the furniture is rearranged and there's new people in the room and some of the people are gone.
Yeah. But so, some of the furniture is the same.
Yeah. And some of the furniture is the same. It's like a surprise.
Yeah.
It's like, so it doesn't mean that you are necessarily going to have a big change in this day or, you know, these 3 days that the eclipse is activated, which is July 26th, 27th, 28th. But some people you know might be, and we might be seeing some stuff on the global level as well of like, oh, well, that thing really ended and this new thing is beginning here. It's a reset. So take it for that and be conscious of how you want to reset. If you can be conscious, if you have the availability, like I would focus this reset around like how do you want to let your fire flow? And how do you want to kind of feel like you can shine out into the world while also giving back and doing the Aquarius thing, which is helping those around you and connecting with your community?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it bears mentioning too that this is the last duo. I mean, when we're talking about the three, you're referencing the July 12th, the new moon, partial solar eclipse in Cancer. But this pair in Leo and Aquarius is referencing also the pair that we had in late July and August of last year, and then also of 2017, and then in January, February of 2018, of earlier this year. So should we shift gears and take a look at the second part of the season and what this is bringing, this new moon solar eclipse?
Let's keep going. Yeah, yeah. I like it. Okay, so we've got on August 6th, we have Venus moves into Libra.
Mm-hmm. And just the following day, we have Uranus stationing retrograde in Aries.
Woo!
Ooh.
Our retrograde summers.
Yeah.
Summers tend to be filled with retrogrades.
this is, I feel like, and, you know, depending on your kind of attunement astrologically, sometimes people, retrogrades have gotten a little bit of a bad rep, I feel like, you know, in some ways. But what sort of sense do you make of the Uranus station, especially as it relates to this Venus and Libra? Because there is a relationship between these two.
Yeah. Well, this is a big deal because...
Oh, no, Uranus is in Taurus now.
Right.
I'm like living in the past of Uranus and Aries. Uranus entered Taurus earlier this year.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big deal because all year from May 2018 to May 2019... pretty much, we're experiencing Uranus being in this liminal space of moving back and forth between Aries and Taurus.
Yeah.
And so that's what really makes this retrograde stand out to me, is that we're experiencing a lot of heightened electricity that is transforming from like us kind of activating our warrior natures and our like bang bang kind of like sudden changes around how we fire things up, to transformation around how we stabilize and ground. And we're kind of in this in-between space that makes it really profound. I think this is a very electric time, and the retrograde this month might not, I don't know if it will feel super electric, but it's important to me because it's part of this bigger arc of like, soon it will go back into Aries, and then we're going to go back into Taurus, and we're just kind of going back and forth. And with each pass, we're learning more and more about how we need to change our world and shift things and invigorate. And when it's, there are going to be moments where it's happening to us, and there's moments where we're part of the driving force of the changes that are happening, but it's activated.
Yeah. This back to the future, back to the future feeling again. And I think too about, you know, I was thinking about this entry of Venus into Libra and what this kind of player, what the role of this player at the party, you know, this season feels like. And in so many ways, it feels like for me, this energy of Venus in Libra is, in some senses, it's about reckoning with the gap between where we are and where we would long to be, you know, specifically in the realm of relationship, you know, if we're thinking about Venus as a planet of relationship. But it feels like it's very much in conversation with the whole season's themes of this tightening or tightening and being able to loosen around that gap, around the, well, I should be over this, or I should be, and but also aspiring to long for the things that we want to long for. It's like this energy of Venus in Libra, it both sees what partnership can be or what we can be, you know, aspirationally. It's that, you know, kind of distant castle or that distant kind of glimmer on the horizon, and also kind of the reckoning with the reality of where we are in the bodies we're in, with the humanness that we have, with the partners that are in front of us or the friends that are in front of us. And so it feels in some ways like a balm that comes in, you know, mid-season to remind us that, like, we can dream this dream together, you know, we can dream this dream together, we can, like, chase this vision, you know, and also be in our humanness. And those aren't, like, antithetical, you know, perspectives. And that that any sort of grippiness or hardness comes in when there's a should, or there's a storyline about, well, but I'm not there yet, or here's how far along I am on this the linearity again, this path. So it feels actually like, you know, and what you're talking about Uranus retro and kind of coming back and forth along this line too, about, you know, how much I'm consciously doing or efforting to change or radicalize, and how much is being done to me versus like for me or through me. And I think it's like, it's a powerful moment too, to think about, yeah, again, this relationship, like the Mars retrograde and this relationship to action, and what you think of as effort versus allowing, and like why there has to be this versus, and could things be happening through you and alongside you and for you rather than to you or by you? Like, I'm going to do this myself, or it's going to be done to me. Are there other ways to think about it?
Yeah. So Venus in Libra is like harmony and balance, right? And she's comfortable there. It's kind of funny, like, she's comfortable right now. Mars isn't super comfortable. Mercury is not super comfortable either right now, because it's retrograde. The, you know, we're, it's kind of an interesting little moment where Venus is like, can we all just sit down and talk about this, you know? And yeah, she's kind of saying like, let's find some balance, let's think it through, be a little objective, have some more fun, you know. Mercury in Leo retrograde, you know, you want to have fun, but you can't even get yourself off the couch, you know.
Except for your private karaoke, maybe, right, machine, right, in your room.
You're hiding out in your bedroom with your karaoke machine.
Like, you all know we have one of those.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you know what this makes me think of, and maybe this is a stretch, but with the skipping stones idea, maybe Venus and Leo is saying to the whole crew, like, just keep trying. Like, just keep throwing another stone. Keep letting it skip, 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 skip. And, like, we'll get there. We'll find the balance. Because the scales, you know, it's, you don't just stay balanced, right? You're always just trying to achieve the balance. You're just trying over and over again. And there's no perfection. Well, we want the idealism, but there isn't that ideal perfect state.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like allowing, accepting, keep throwing another rock, keep trying another thing, keep talking about it, keep, you know, talking here at this moment in the month. I think through the rest, or I said month, but I meant the season, and through the rest of the season, so looking around the time of August 6th into the end of Leo season, August 27th, maybe we get some more opportunities here to, like, talk about what's going on. Yeah. and like, we have another eclipse coming up, and Mercury is really featured, and we'll get to that, but we're going to have some opportunities to really communicate and share. And Mars being retrograde does put some strain on relationships at times and can add some inflammation and some fighting and some fire. So here at the end of the Mars retrograde, maybe we get a chance for some harmonizing mm-hmm. and some balancing. And like, it's like Venus and Libra is our trip to the couples therapist or something.
Yeah. No, I love what you're saying about this dynamic kind of feedback loop. And it's just like, okay, try it again, try it again. And it puts me in the mind of both some of the most potent lessons in that are lessons or energies that are imbued in the Libra archetype mixed with Leo energy. Because for me, so often I think about what Libra brings is a great learning around cause and effect, you know, in some ways, you know. And it's the idea of dynamic equilibrium, or like, obviously we know that balance is not static. If you ever tried to like hold a balancing pose of any kind with your physical body, you know, everything is in motion. But the notion too of like reckoning with cause and effect, like I have to make a choice, and okay, and then here's the outcome of that choice, and how do I reckon with the outcome? And to know with this infusion of the Leo sun, this leonine energy and Mercury retro in Leo, that it's like, yeah, cause and effect. Yeah, I mean, obviously there are actions we need to reckon with the outcomes of, and also just like try again. Like we've got one shot in this body. I mean, we've got many shots in other, you know, sort of concepts of time, if we're blowing out the concept of time. But in this particular incarnation, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll have multiples. But, you know, to the best of our feeling in this moment, we've got one shot in this body, this go around. So it's like, yeah, what you're saying, it's like, just, okay, do it again. And can there be some, like, pleasure in that? I think about, like, little kids, you know, running off diving boards. And, you know, when you were learning to, like, if you ever try to learn how to flip when you were a kid, you know, do flips, you're like, be belly flopping, be crashing. Like, we would always wear sweatshirts to try to buffer our bodies, you know, to not like get
that
the
was
biggest
smart
hit.
We never did that. That never occurred yeah. to any of us.
But it's like, just keep flipping and do it again, and like maybe put on a sweatshirt next time, or maybe you try to, you know. But it's like, it's not. And this idea again, returning to the time and returning to the effort and the Mars retro, it's like, it's not the end of the world. Like, yes, reckon with the cause and effect and reckon with the fallout of a decision. And also, you know, look at your life both in a more expansive sense of there is infinite time for trial and error, quote unquote, if we would even consider it error, but also that the time is now to just go again, like just flip mm-hmm. it, flip it again, run to the edge of the diving board. See what can be adjusted, flip off the, you know, just
yeah.
keep going.
I've been saying the phrase throwing spaghetti against the wall Ooh. So much lately. I don't know where I picked it up, but yeah. this does make me think of that. It's like, we're doing the best we can with what we've got, you know, we're trying. And here we do get a chance maybe to become a little bit more graceful, maybe not in the action of it, because the action is all kind of convoluted right now, but at least graceful in the framing of it and the space that we're giving ourselves to jump off the diving board and do a belly flop.
Yeah.
And like to say, you know, I'm trying to find some balance here, and part of that is going back and forth with it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So let's sidle our pony over to the next big event, which is the new moon solar eclipse. And this is on August 11th. And this is the last of the three eclipses of this season. So we've got the sun and moon together in Leo. And they are also connected really close with Mercury, who's also in Leo. And then they're talking nice. They're hanging out. Well, they're kind of making side eye at Jupiter and Scorpio as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a connection there too. So what do you think about this layout?
It's interesting because we've referenced this notion of fixed signs and this kind of internal channel. And sometimes the feeling of entrenchment that can come from the stabilization or the fullness of them. But there feels to me in so many ways, especially because the sun, which rules Leo, is literally eclipsed, you know, here, where there's a different kind of consciousness around self-expression or around selfhood. And it feels very much tied to what we were speaking about in the beginning around this kind of letting yourself be the vessel for love without having to necessitate a response or necessitate a certain kind of response from the world. And so it feels to me in some ways like a very pure form of leonine energy. And, you know, often we hear Leo energy and the energy of Leo season spoken about in terms of like seeing and being seen or this kind of performative energy. And really at its essence and its core, I mean, there is a quality of desiring to be seen and taking up space in that way. And also it's kind of like the space and the desire to be seen that the sun itself has, which is like, yes, there's a certain exchange that we have. And obviously there's a dance and a love affair that goes on between the sun and plants and the sun and our bodies as humans. And also the sun just like up it comes again. And I don't know who it was that wrote this. I think it was in Liz Green, the astrologer Liz Green, her book on the mythology behind some of the signs or the mythological entanglements of the signs archetypes. And she wrote something to the extent of like, ultimately the conversation, the highest octave of conversation between leonine energy is not between Leo and the audience, it's between Leo and God. And you can, you know, sub out God for whatever, source or divine, whatever kind of higher octave energy you have or kind of larger picture. But it feels like that's the conversation that's going on here. So it feels like there does feel to me like a certain sense of ease in this notion of summoning the courage to do what we must do or become more of the selves that we already are. And in terms of this past, present, future mashup conversation that we've been having, that it's almost like naturally we're just sort of opening toward the light. Not that it has to be like light versus dark, but, you know, I think about, just to use a very personal example, you know, well, to get totally personal, you know, years ago when I was grappling with addiction, specifically with, you know, alcohol abuse, thinking about, and you can, you know, you can use this for any kind of pattern or entrenched way of being, thinking about there came a point where, you know, and I was sober for an extended period of time where my body just sort of led me home, like where I would usually like get off the train and like get a six pack or go to a bar, like whatever the thing was. My body just like, it was almost like moving in the direction of the house. And then I was just home and I didn't almost know how. And it was this kind of syncing up between the conscious will and a much more blown out complex version of like will, a lamb beyond will or beyond consciousness of will. And you can use that for anything, you know, when you've like been like consistently texting someone that then every time you send the text, it makes you feel badly and you're waiting for the response. And then you just sort of stop or you spend a day where you just don't send the text or whatever. It's almost like that hole in the side of the sink that then the water just starts to filter through when it hits that level almost. That was like a total, like, I just went on a rampage there, but
that was beautiful. I was really following every word with attention because I love the way you described. I've never heard anyone say that Leo can really be about this conversation between the self and God. And there's so much there for me to unpack and consider, especially thinking about what I see as Leo's purpose, which is to be creative and to express. And it's like expression. I never have loved the idea that, because it doesn't resonate with my clients or the people that I know, that Leo is all about like the big crowd.
Yeah.
And like creating for the big group. I really think of it as Leo in the creative act to share, usually for to be heard somehow, to feel like there does need to be some place that this sharing is going. And I love the idea that that could be, you know, in your own spiritual practice, or like to be sharing and like having that sharing connect you with your higher power, whatever that is for you, that it's like an offering of some kind, like bringing your offering to the altar, which, you know, maybe that even leads into Virgo, right? Yeah. Because Virgo's all about the altar. And so that could be this action of Leo creating and offering. And then in the next sign, we come to like, oh, and here's where this offering is taking place.
Yeah. I love this image of the offering too, because when you leave it on the altar, it isn't like the smashed blueberries that you're directly like forcing into somebody's hand, or the question or like the demand that you're making straight to their face. It's a creation, and then it's a leaving. And, you know, I feel like this solar eclipse too, thinking about these three fixed signs of, you know, Jupiter and Scorpio and the retrograde Mars in Aquarius and the south node of the moon, and then all this energy concentrated in Leo and then Uranus up there in Taurus, it feels like this feeling of that offering, that like offering up of the self, like in this very, like there's a certain like buoyancy almost in the fixed signs here. And it's like, it's not a conversation anymore about like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, or why can't I change, or why can't I transform? You know, like this Uranus, you know, in Taurus and this Jupiter in Scorpio, and we've got, you know, like blow out this kind of energy of like forced transformation, or why can't I purge it? Let's like go hard to purge this. And it's like, no, we're just moving toward what feels more fully alive. You know, it's not even toward in a way. It's just, we're like, choosing, okay, and maybe it's not even conscious, but just like the thing that feels full of life, like where the life is, we're going to where the life is. And I think about, even I was reading something recently about disease, and it's like everything is kind of on the side of life, you know, even diseases are like feeding on healthy body, like everything wants life in some ways. Not that there isn't obviously like life, death, life cycle, but I love this idea of the offering too, because it's this offering of like, it's not, there's not a demand, there's not a way, there's not a like, who's gonna, I'm giving you a present even. An offering in an altar is, the word isn't selfless, there's something.
Self-contained?
Self-contained, and there's a loosening of the entrenchment around the necessity of the response, or a certain kind of response. It's just like,
like a letting go of the expectation.
Yeah.
The expectation that, oh, this other person is going to show up and love me back or give it back.
Right.
Which Leo, I think historically we could say, does need that. But in this moment at this eclipse, like filling yourself up with what is your creativity, what is your life, what is your... I mean, so many planets are retrograde here, so there's a quiet way to do this. There's like an interior, internal, maybe it's not that the full awareness has come up yet, but that you're really, you're just doing it. You're just in the flow of like making yourself scrambled eggs, if that's the thing that makes you feel alive.
Yeah.
Or, some creative thing would be really beautiful, or just some trust or some faith in the fact that like you're doing the best you can, and you're living like a new moment every day, that you're showing up with the beginner's mind.
Yeah. And living because you have the chance. It's also like Leo reminds us that like it's a freaking gift. I mean, it's like, I think back again to when we were talking about death, or I was talking about dead people, like you know, in that, during that intense time, like in my mid-20s, coming out of that, I remember the vividness, the technicolor coming out of that period of grief, or just mixing up the grief of like, God, how like amazing breakfast would taste, or how, because I was like, this person are not eating this. Like, you are here eating this, you know, and it's like, only you can be eating this in this way or tasting this in this moment. And, you know, ultimately, I feel like that's the ultimate gift of this kind of higher octave of Leo expression that we're being ushered into through the North Node's you know, transit through this sign and through this particular phase of these eclipses.
Yeah, and Jupiter and Scorpio too here, right? If you're thinking about the gift of seeing what it is to, like, let go.
Yeah.
And then what you have as well. Yeah. That's really beautiful. Yeah, anything else to say about this eclipse? So this is at 18 degrees Leo. So if you have a placement in your chart that's 18 degrees of a fixed sign, this eclipse could affect you personally. So it's something to look for if you're a low intermediate or high beginner or
not that we're thinking linearly.
Astrologer. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like with Mercury there, this is that chance too to kind of retell the story or tell a new story. Think about the stories you're telling yourself. We've touched on that a lot in the sense of, like, you know, what is it that you're saying when you get to the point where you're seeing that pattern happening over and over again? Like, are you saying, oh, this keeps happening to me? Or are you going to tell a different story about it? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of attention here on the words that you use and the words that you don't use. Mm-hmm. And noticing too that people in your life might be very vocal, but in a kind of unconscious way.
Yeah.
And so with eclipse energy, we're always in kind of a high outpouring of energy, right? So noticing, like, hey, if somebody's kind of going off at the mouth, is that the same? I don't know.
Sounds great, though.
Sounds like what I'm doing right now. then, like, maybe giving them some of that Venus and Libra grace, or waiting it out to, you know, giving yourself a little extra space, or maybe saying something that really has been needed to be said for a long time.
Yeah.
Could be powerful, too.
Yeah, and we're gearing up for Mercury to station direct on the 19th after this the week after. And on that same day, we have Jupiter in Scorpio trining Neptune in Pisces. And it almost feels to me like, you know, the last time this happened, what was the, do you remember the date? I feel like it was it Gemini season, the Jupiter trying to Neptune?
I don't remember. Time.
Yeah. In any event, Jupiter's, like, it feels like this kind of energy to me to kind of close out this season of the, and then give it away and turn it loose. Like, this notion of we've got all this fixed energy, we've been kind of negotiating our relationship to how things kind of flow through us and where we are as actors on that continuum. And then we have Jupiter in a traditionally pretty entrenched sign of Scorpio, but also a sign that's associated with kind of phoenix-like rises or deep transformative patterns, just like kissing up to Neptune in Pisces, which is total dissolution, you know, total kind of like washing, and then it just sort of washes away. So it's so nice to think about what you're saying about the self-talk and the softening of the narrative, or just sort of the inquiring around if you can give it more space around the narrative, because it almost feels like this aspect in some ways brings us home to that sense of, you know, everything that's beyond the right, wrong, the dark, light, this kind of polarity that we get ourselves entrenched in around our behavior and the should or the want, or that I shouldn't want this or whatever that is. It just sort of like Pisces allow is like the total mistress or the master or the every, you know, non-gendered binary term in between of allowing.
Yeah.
You know, allowing it to be.
Yeah. I kind of am thinking about some kind of prayer too with this, with Jupiter and Scorpio and Neptune and Pisces. This could be a chance to, like, really crystallize your hope for what you want to bring in.
Yeah.
And, like, in my mind, I just had this image of, like, maybe it was almost like a cartoon, like maybe some Peter Pan image of, like, Wendy looking out of the window and, like, wishing upon a star before she goes to bed.
Yeah.
Or something like that, that there's an opportunity to kind of let go, cleanse, come home, and send up your hope for what you would love to have. This is such supportive, harmonious energy. And in this moment of kind of, like, dissolving, there's also hope and faith and trust too.
Yeah. it puts me in the mind too of like in the tarot of, you know, the card that's associated with Aquarius, often the star. And in some ways I've like tried to wrap my mind around that association, because in some ways I feel, you know, that so much of that card's meaning is tied up with like healing and kind of cleansing. And I'm like, Aquarius is not, I don't necessarily think of Aquarius and the word healing, but there's something also in the panoptic perspective or in the futurism or of the, in the like learn to live again, love again, the beyondness of Aquarius that is deeply like cleansing and healing. So it feels like this aspect that closes out this Leo season in many ways leads us both into the heart of both of the signs in some ways, or we could say the heart of Leo and the head of Aquarius, which is in many ways the ability of like this endlessly regenerative channel of hope, of aspiration, of whatever it is. And Leo might find that in the present moment of just like, oh, here's like a beautiful saturated color, or like here, you know, it's almost like this you know, like moth following the, or whatever, a little kitten following like the dot on the, you know, just sort of like the attention goes to the present moment. And, you know, and Aquarius might be more aspirational or more kind of blown out, you know, into the future, but that there is this feeling of like learning that there's life after life after life, you know, and getting back to this concept that time is not a linear one too. And that even if we want to think back linearly over our past experiences, think of all the moments where you've been quote unquote bottomed out, and then you agreed to live some more. You agreed to like show up some more. You agreed to open again, you know, that it's never too late, you know. And it feels like in many ways that this end of the season is a sweet balm that reminds us of both that circular spiral, whatever kind of image you want to have of time, and also of our endlessly rejuvenating powers of self, of saying yes again.
So little kittens,
yeah.
As you follow those butterflies that are flying just beyond Pa's grasp, we wish you a wonderful Leo season.
Yeah, and we'll be back in Virgo season to revisit this altar in all of its different intricacies and incarnations. And in the meantime, if you're enjoying this podcast and you feel like so inclined to share it, we'd love that, or leave a review. And also, you know, we're so excited that we're going to, around the time of the full moon lunar eclipse, totally blanked out. There's so many like words associated with each eclipse, the full moon total, are going to be relaunching the platform of the Numinous. So as you may have noticed, if you've been following the site, we temporarily took the site down. It was totally retrograding itself out of existence, crashing every week. And so we put up a temporary landing page in the interim, where you are invited to sign up for the newsletter. We have a super juicy newsletter that goes out weekly with taroscopes and horoscopes and all sorts of really invigorating content for this mystical moment that we're in each week. And so sign up for the newsletter there. Stay tuned around the lunar eclipse for the unveiling of the next iteration of the platform, and also follow us on Instagram, and we will see you in Virgo season.
Yeah, and the website is thenuminous.com, Instagram thenuminous with an underscore between the two words, right?
Yeah, it's an underscore on Instagram, and then the website has a dash between the and Numinous. There's another Numinous situation floating around out there. So yeah, there's a dash between the website and an underscore with the Instagram.
Awesome. Well, wonder kind beings, have a ferocious season.
And we'll fluffy.
See you soon. Ferocious and fluffy.
Yes, we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.